pretty good, right? That's without a single lesson. Imagine what I could do with a little instruction. All right. This is an English handbell. You can tell because it has a distinguished accent and it drinks tea in the afternoon. These are the ones most often seen in churches. All right. English actually refers to a specific type of handbell, like this here, that the country of origin, since most are actually made here in America now by Malmark Bell Craftsman in Pennsylvania. It's a free plug there, Malmark. You're welcome. But they did originate in England, so I guess when you say English handbell, even when they were made in America, they actually did come from, right, okay, now I'm confusing myself a little bit. And I guess that's why we are talking about the handbell on this episode of Chuck Knows Church. I think this one's, yeah, this one needs to be tuned. The first tuned handbell, like this one here, was developed by British brothers Robert and William Corr about the turn of the 17th century in Wiltshire, England, not Pennsylvania. Now, tuned handbells, like those made by the Corr brothers, were first used by change ringers, you know, the folks that did this, right, in the towers all throughout Europe. They would use these to practice their complicated change ringing sequences. Seems trying to practice on the big bell tower bells only upset the neighbors, so these were a little less obnoxious. Now, it was not until 1902 that the handbell made its way into America. A woman named Margaret Shercliffe was presented with a set of 10 handbells while visiting London. That's in England. They were given to her by Arthur Hughes, a general manager of Whitechapel Bell Foundry. And ta-da! Here we are. Now, to ring a handbell, the ringer, moi, French, not English, moves it in such a way that the clapper, right there, strikes the inside surface of the bell. Now, the ringer usually holds it against his or her shoulder, like this, bell, upwards, and then he or she swings the bell. Threw in a little something, right? Through an elliptical shape, I'm doing it wrong, to cause the clapper to strike. It wants to strike the casting of the bell, but it's not, doesn't seem to be striking anything. And then once done, the bell will continue to resonate, assuming there is an initial noise. It will resonate, and then the noise should decay naturally until it stops, or it is stopped, you know, when somebody does this or dampens it with their hand or body or a padded surface or something like that. Funny, I totally had this thing before. I don't know why it's not working. Oh, you think just twisting my hand is... okey-doke. Good note. We'll remember that for the future. All right. You guys ready for this? For you, a little something special. To learn more, ask your pastor. Tell them Chuck sent you.
Good morning. I'd like to welcome you to our worship service this morning here at St. Matthew's. I hope that this worship service is meaningful for you and will provide you with something to carry you throughout the week.
Hi, Christy Gerges here. I was really thankful for Compassion Camp, which was our vacation Bible school from the summer, directed by Josh and two other clergy. It really lifted our family spirits and gave us something new and beautiful.
One thing that I'm thankful for this summer is friends.
I'm thankful for my neighbors' ducks, chickens, and also my family.
Okay. Do you like visiting the ducks every day?
They're so soft and cute, yes.
Thank you, ducks and chickens and family.
Hi, everyone. I miss you all. I'm thankful for the beautiful weather that we had this summer for our long walks.
My name is Peter Gerges, and I'm very grateful for the health and well-being of my family in these very odd times. I'm also grateful for those beautiful little moments we had this summer, like taking care of baby chickens and going on beautiful hikes.
Hello, my name is Owen Gerges, and one of the things that I was thankful for is that we still got to get church even though in summer, even though it's COVID. So that's what I'm thankful for.
Welcome to worship this morning. I hope you're comfortable in your personal sanctuary. It's such a gift to be able to join with each of you in our virtual YouTube sanctuary. I invite you to welcome each other and share in the chat one thing you're grateful for from this summer.
When was the last time you shared a meal with someone on the other side of the world? Jesus prayed that we would be one, yet when we look at the world today, too often we see his followers divided while the world's most pressing needs go unaddressed. If we focus on the forces that pull us apart, it's easy to feel discouraged, overwhelmed, and anything but united. But on World Communion Sunday, the first Sunday in October, we celebrate what binds us together, the love of Christ that empowers us to make this world a better place, as one people committed to one purpose. This rich ecumenical tradition of World Communion Sunday that began about 80 years ago celebrates the diversity of believers of all ethnic backgrounds. Through your generous gift on this special Sunday of the United Methodist Church, we do more together to promote unity by empowering education. Your support provides scholarships and in-service training programs for U.S. racial and ethnic students and international students on both undergraduate and graduate levels, giving them tools they need to transform the world. Together, we equip students from around the globe to shape a unified future in so many ways by helping the least of these know the mercy and love of Jesus. As believers unite on World Communion Sunday, our bread may be different, but we share our love for the bread of life. As we share the fruit of the vine, our commitment to follow the example of Jesus unites us. Together, as engaged disciples, we give on World Communion Sunday to promote unity and empower passionate students to tear down the walls that divide us and lead us to do more through our shared communion in Christ. Together, we do more.
Amen. Good morning. Welcome you all to the worship service at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. We welcome you all with all our hearts and with the love of Jesus Christ. If you have a window in your room, you know, would you take a look at outside through the window? You know, for those who haven't been here in this building, St. Matthew's, you know, we have a beautiful, you know, wide open window here. And then I see the colors are being changed. And the trees with their foliage look beautiful. And I hope and pray that these beautiful colors, this foliage, may remind you God makes something beautiful even in this midst, in the middle of this pandemic. You may be going through a lot of challenges in your life. With all my heart, I bless you, and then God may remind you, God makes something beautiful out of chaos, out of even mess. That's who God is. That's the God we believe in. So as we focus on God and refocus on God this morning all together, we may experience God's love and God's power during these worship hours. Let us worship together with all our hearts and minds and soul.
Let us pray. Light of Christ, awaken us this hour to the glory of your presence in and around us. Shine in such a way that the darkness around us and within us is pushed back, so that we may truly see what is really real. Help us to recognize our shortcomings, our sins, for what they are, and help us to stand upright and strong. Help us to see the world as you created it to be, knowing that it is good, and as you created us to be, which is also good. Empower us to move from darkness to light, from sin to new life. May your light within us shine through into worship this day and all days to come. We pray in the name of the Word made flesh, the light of the world, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Fill my cup, Lord, I lift it up, Lord. Come and quench this thirsting of my soul. Let us praise the Lord through this song. Fill my cup, Lord.
Thank you. I wanted to show you a few things that I have in our house. I have a little bookmark here. This is a bookmark from Kenya that I got while I was there when I was back in a seminary. And when I see this bookmark, it reminds me of the cool things that I learned while I was there. I also keep this around in my house. Do you have any crosses in your house potentially? Crosses remind us of Jesus, right? They help us remember the story of Jesus. This cross also says, it says UCM on the top. That was a college group that I was in, a college group that really meant a lot to me and taught me a lot about God. It also challenged me to think about God in ways that I had not thought of God before, and to maybe let go of some prejudices that I had about people. And it was a really meaningful thing for me. So I keep this around still. Somebody made this for me when I was when I graduated from college, and I keep it to remind me about that, some of the lessons that I learned. So we keep things around our house that help us remind us of things. Maybe you have some things like that too. Maybe some photographs to remind you all of things that you've done as a family. I wanted to show you another thing. A few years ago, I was really curious about where my great grandfather and grandmother came from. And I went to Ellis Island, and I found out that my great-grandfather came to this country from Finland in, I believe, 1920-something, 23. And I got a record here, and that was from the book of records that they took when people came off the boat. And I found where my great-grandfather came from and where my great-grandmother came from. They both came from Finland, but about 10 years apart. And they found each other in Brooklyn, which I would not have really known had I not looked it up. So these were things that I had forgotten about. And I think there's actually a lot of people whose families have lived in this country for a very long time, and they have forgotten that they are immigrants too, that their families came from another country. And so it's good for us to go back and learn our stories and learn and remember things that we've forgotten. The Bible is also an example of remembering things. And the psalm for today was all about remembering. It says, "Give ear to my people, to my teaching. Turn your ear to what I say. I will expound a theme, hold forth on the lessons of the past, things we've heard and known that our mothers and fathers have taught us. And we will not withhold them from our children, but we will tell the coming generations of what all the wonderful things that God has done and the wonders that God has performed." So the Bible is a way for us to remember. And so when we share stories from the Bible, it's a way for God's people to remember that God's faithfulness is to his people, to God's people, and that amazing things that have happened in the past where God has helped people overcome oppression and face injustice and to be reconnected with their communities and families and have sought salvation and goodness and love and hope. And these are wonderful things. So we read the Bible and we remember these things. And sometimes, you know, we forget. Sometimes we lose sight of the fact that God is with us. You know, that can be really easy to do when things are tough. Things are tough sometimes where you kind of get kind of down, you know. Maybe you're down because school is tough. I know school is really challenging for a lot of us right now. We sometimes get down because, you know, we are disappointed about things not going our way. And then, you know, we might need to remember when God has been faithful, when God has not abandoned us. Because that can help us stay focused and help us find joy and peace and also the courage to stand up and do what is right, even when things are tough. Also, maybe as a family, you all can share a family photo or a memento that you have in your house that reminds you of some something that your family has gone through or some funny story that you have told together as a family. Because there's lessons and there's knowledge and there's wisdom that comes from our family stories. And so we keep these things in our houses to help us remember, but we don't always sit down and tell the stories. So maybe this week, just as a reminder, to come together as a family and tell a story, maybe about how you were born, maybe tell a story about how your family came to be formed, or maybe you can tell a story of a big adventure that you all went on as a family, or anything, really, because it's important and it's valuable to remember. Because when we remember, we take these lessons forward into the future. So let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you for always loving us. Help us to remember your loving kindness and mercy. Help us to remind each other of your faithfulness when times are tough. We love you. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Have a great Sunday.
Every smile that begins when it's over.
Amen, amen.
Amen. Today's scripture, there's many of them, from Luke 19, verses 1 through 2. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. Later in the story, Luke 19, verses 8 through 10. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, "I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost." From John chapter 4, verses 6 through 7. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please, give me a drink." From John 4, verses 28 through 30. The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?" So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. So he went to the high priest. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
WWJD, what did Jesus do? If you want to do WWJD, you need to know what Jesus did first. So last Sunday, we shared the first one of this series, what did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? Jesus refused to stand with accusers by lowering himself. He did not place himself in the judging position. Instead, he took a place of compassion, the bottom. Do you recall that good news? Yeah? Cool. Today, it is the second one of what did Jesus do. Today's scripture readings introduce three stories. In Luke, you find Zacchaeus. In John, a woman at the well. And in Acts, Paul. Have you found the common thread of those three stories? Changes. Transformations happened because of Jesus. The first one, Zacchaeus, we talked about him and his story about 3 weeks ago. Do you recall? Good. Then who was Zacchaeus? He was a chief tax collector in the area. And he became very rich. Then where was the area? It was Jericho. Luke 19 verse 1 says, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Now Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And this event took place in the last few days or so of his life. As he went toward Jerusalem, he passed through the city of Jericho. And Jericho was a beautiful city. It was a quiet cosmopolitan, and he had a beautifully wide streets, beautifully decorated, and it was one of the centers of a Roman imperial, the Roman imperial power in the part of the world. And Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector of the city of Jericho. And as many as you may know, tax collectors in the ancient Roman world were viewed as a scum of society. People considered them as the most immoral ones. Why? I introduced you two reasons. Let me repeat them briefly. First of all, tax collectors worked for the Romans. And the Rome was imperial oppressive authority over the Jews. So tax collectors were considered the traitors. And the second reason tax collectors were considered the immoral ones was the tax collectors almost always financially raped their own people. So because of those two reasons, they were considered as a scum of the society. And Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector. This means that he had ripped up a lot of people for a long period of time. So Jewish people hated him. They laughed at him. Nobody talked to him. Nobody. But Jesus. Jesus called Zacchaeus by name. While he was seeing Jesus hiding on the sycamore fig tree, Jesus found him and said, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." Jesus didn't say, "Can I stay? Would you mind if I stay?" No. He said, "I must stay in your house today." We Christians, we confess that Jesus Christ died on the cross while we are still sinners. We can see that Jesus Christ embraced Zacchaeus, who he was, as he was, while he was still sinners. Jesus Christ received him and embraced him. Then what happened? In verse 8, Zacchaeus said to Jesus, "I'll give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated the people on their taxes, I'll give them back four times as much." What an amazing transformation. When Jesus Christ received him and embraced him as he was, that was where the transformation began. What did Jesus do? Jesus met this broken one named Zacchaeus where he was, and he embraced him. And that was where the transformation happened. How about Jesus and the woman at the well in John chapter 4? There are many reasons Jesus should have just ignored that woman, Samaritan woman. First, Jesus was Jewish and this woman was Gentile, a Samaritan. Jews treated themselves superior to Gentiles, Samaritans, in the social structure at the time. Second, Jesus was a male and she was female. Men were considered themselves superior to female women in the culture at the time. And third, Jesus was a rabbi who lived up to the highest moral bar. And she was a person with loose morals by the standard of the society that she was living. In John chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus said, "The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband." It was considered loose morals in the culture at the time. This was the reason that she came to the well to draw water about noontime, when usually nobody went to well to draw water. It was common practice in the Middle East area that women went to the well to draw water and have a social time with other women in the early morning before it got warm. So it is a reasonable, educated guess that she probably went to the well about noontime instead of morning time because she was afraid of encountering other women who must have talked about her and her moral issues. Jesus should have just ignored this Gentile woman with loose morals according to the social and cultural context, but he did not. But Jesus did not. Jesus met the Samaritan woman where she was. Where she was living, Samaria, and embraced her, received her and embraced her. Then what happened? In John chapter 4, verse 28, after talking with Jesus, quote unquote, the woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everyone. Did you hear me? Telling everyone. Wait a second. Talking to everyone? The woman isolated herself from others because of her shame. So she even went to the well at noontime, around noontime. She went to the social place, the well, noontime, when no one was around. But now she is talking to everyone. What an amazing transformation. Moreover, she bore witness to Jesus Christ, and the people believed what she told them. The passage goes on. The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village telling everyone, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?" So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Can you picture that? Do you see the difference? This Samaritan woman isolated herself with a strong sense of shame. And now she is interacting with the people. And amazingly, the people believed what she told them. What a change. What a beautiful transformation. What did Jesus do? Jesus Christ met this Samaritan woman where she was living in Samaria and received her and embraced her as she was. Then that was where the transformation began. The third example is very obvious and extremely dramatic. So it doesn't take much explanation. Same Paul. Paul's old name was Saul. And who was he? He was notorious persecutor of Jesus' followers. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. But after encountering Jesus Christ and having the conversion experience, Saul became Paul. He became one of the craziest Jesus freaks. Paul became so passionate for Jesus Christ that he could not help but proclaim Jesus Christ's good news throughout his life. Look what this previous enthusiastic persecutor of Jesus' followers confessed. "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." What an amazing transformation. What did Jesus do? Jesus Christ met Saul, the notorious persecutor, and embraced him. And an amazing transformation started happening. That persecutor became one of the greatest evangelists in Christian history. What did Jesus do? Jesus met the broken where they were and received them and embraced them as they were. And that was where transformation happened. Jesus reached out the isolated, the broken, and the desperate people where they were. And he embraced them. And then amazing stories of transformation began. There are so many people who suffer from all different kinds of pains and brokenness in our church, in our community, and in our world. WWJD. What would Jesus do? Now you know another answer. And the question is, what are you going to do with this goodness this week? How are you going to live out this goodness in your life this week? God bless you all. Amen. It is no longer I who lives, but it is Jesus Christ who lives in me. Let us praise the Lord through this song, when we are living, when we are living. As a people who experience God's grace through God's goodness, Let us respond to God's grace together. Please join me in response to God's grace. God wants our love more than God wants our offerings. God cares of our hearts, not the amount of our offerings. As we count all the blessings God has already given to us, we cheerfully give our offerings to God, the provider, with grateful hearts. Amen. Let us continue to express our gratitude to the Lord with our gifts, with our presence, even though it's virtual, and with our prayers. So the prayer part is very important. You know, don't just send, you know, put the check or money in the envelope and send it to church. As I repeat this, saying this, 1 week after another, please prepare your offering with all your heart, your best, and put it in the Bible, and pray for those God wants reach out through our ministries. And pray for all those who are involved in those ministries. Please pray for me, your pastor, and send the offering to the church, 435 Central Street, Acton, Massachusetts. Or you may check the church website and introduce several different ways that you can participate in the church ministry with your finest gift. And next Sunday is World Communion Sunday. And you probably saw the explanation about what it is during the 15-minute introduction time before the service. If you joined us in worship, you know, later, please go back after the service, go back to the beginning, and then please watch it. And I really appreciate the detailed information and explained right there. So let us do it together. Let us affirm that we are one. Even we cannot physically feel that we are that closely connected, but we are. And then let us celebrate the World Communion Sunday together next Sunday. Now it's time for prayer. Let us pray together. First, Patricia McKenzie asked prayers after her recent surgery for breast cancer. Future treatment is not yet set, but Patty is blessed by her doctor. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
Many people have lifted blessings from this summer in chat. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
A prayer of thanksgiving for our in-house flower arranger, extraordinaire Delma Shoman, and a very happy birthday to her today as well. Happy birthday, Thelma. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
Prayers for all who are struggling today. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
Irene Taylor asked a prayer for her daughter, Katie, who is in a quarantine for COVID after exposure to a positive case at school. So far, no symptoms. Please keep her and her roommate, Crystal, in your prayers. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
Also, Irene asked for prayer for their dog, Jack, one of God's small creatures and precious creatures. Jack is having trouble with his back legs, no longer supporting him. Irene prays that he is not in pain. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
Prayers of gratitude for Peggy McCullough, who helped secure a new cooking tenant with her committed effort to make sure the kitchen is squeaky, clean, and germ-free. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
Prayers for changes in our criminal justice system, that prisoners will be treated with kindness and wisdom. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
And let us pray for all the pains happening in our world today, especially pray for all those who are grieving with us this morning. This is my prayer.
This is our prayer.
Let us take a moment of silence and pray for those prayer requests. While we are praying, I will light the candle that may remind us Jesus Christ, the light comes into our lives each and every moment. Let us pray. Gracious God, have mercy on us. Have mercy on our country and our land. And hear our prayers. Amen. Let us pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us exchange the peace of Christ, the sign of peace of Christ, with one another. The peace of Christ be with you all. The peace of Christ be with you all. Several announcements. You know, again, thank you very much, all the worship leaders here. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. And thank you for joining us in worshiping. We welcome you. And if it's your first time to join us this morning, please, send me an email so that we can get connected. If you have any questions or you'd like to talk to me, By the way, I'm the pastor at St. Matthew's. Then please send me an email, pastor@st-matthews.org. So you can find my email, contact information, and our church website too. And I believe the church website address is in the chat and also in the comment in our YouTube channel. So please take a look at it. And in our church website, you know, we have a lot of information there. You can find the information about the small groups, like Bible study and the Sunday schools for children and adults. So please visit our church website. And I really appreciate, you know, the people, our siblings who are taking care of the websites and mass media part, social media part. And the sit and chat, the group meetings with the pastor, with me, you know, it goes on, and it's been a beautiful and wonderful experience. So please take a look at it. If you haven't made any one of them, please take a look at that information on the either weekly news or on the church website. So take a look at it. And as I briefly mentioned earlier, next Sunday is the Holy Communion Sunday, especially the World Holy Communion Sunday. So prepare the elements, you know, bread and grape juice at home. And please prayerfully consider the joining the ministry of the World Communion Sunday. And please take a look at the introduction, you know, well prepare the introduction during the explanation, during the first 15-minute introduction before our service. And after this service, we are going to have a virtual coffee hour. The password is coffee hour. It's one word, coffee hour. So please join us and let's have fun together. And let's feel that we are connected together. My beloved siblings in Christ, go in peace. May the Holy Spirit empower you to find ways to live out what Jesus did, so that you may do something beautiful, something what Jesus would today, throughout the whole week. God loves you, so do I, and there's nothing you can do about it. God bless you all. Let us bless one another through this song together. Amen. Yeah.